everyone, and welcome to another episode of From No Crypto to No Crypto. I'm your host, the Crypto Coach, Blockchain Wayne. Today we're joined by Britt from Harpy. Britt is the head of business development. Britt, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, absolutely. Happy to be here. Thanks for having
me. Absolutely. I'm looking forward to this. You know, I learned about Harpy at ETH Denver recently. You guys had a great booth set up to share some of the information, and I've even played around with the platform, so I definitely want to dive in. I think it's a valuable service that your team is providing. But before we jump into all the Harpy-related details, can you tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, and maybe what got you working in this space?
Well, yeah, absolutely. Thanks for the introduction. My name is Britt, and I got into this space after watching from the sidelines for quite a while. A lot of my friends had been pretty engaged since their early days. Meanwhile, I got really involved in like integration and home and building automation. So building like designed environments that were responding to sensors and things like that. And on the side, started messing around with hackathons, sort of got me hooked on experimenting with what you could do with these new like digital assets and exchange of information on chain. And here I am today. I work with the Harpy team right now, and it is really fun to be able to work in the cybersecurity side of blockchain, preventing assets from being stolen and sort of being a ultimate layer of protection for people and their assets.
Oh yeah, look, I tell people all the time, security is one of the most important things in, you know, when you're dealing with assets, because we all have the freedom to have our own wallets, to control our own assets. But with that freedom comes a lot of responsibility, right?
Yeah, a ton of responsibility. You could be really vulnerable.
And a lot of us have heard stories of people getting wiped out. They clicked on a malicious link or gave the wrong permission to a wallet, and next thing you know, it's gone. So this is exciting to learn more about. So tell us a little bit about Harpy, maybe if you know how to get started and what people can expect if they go to Harpy and they want to utilize the tools that you have available now.
Absolutely. So we sort of have three facets to us. The easiest to access side and what we do a lot of is the consumer aspect, where we have a whole suite of free tools that allow you to get proactive about being secure with your assets. So you can go to our space, you can see how vulnerable you are or hopefully are not. And there's also tools that you can take advantage of to improve your vulnerability and make sure that even if you already have a lot of layers of protection set up, that you have those ultimate layers set up as well, so that if your assets are leaving, everything's been compromised somehow, doesn't matter if you've got steel all around the world, that you have another layer of protection for that. So that's what we do with a lot. In order to do what we do a lot with data and heuristics as well. So we have some really cool engines that we provide APIs to that help other security tools do what they do as well.
Oh, that's good to know. Good to know. Yeah, I was testing out the platform, and you know, when I was in ETH Denver, I gave my wallet address. I gave my wallet name, and Ash was able to put it in, and it showed the history of my that address and the score. I felt pretty good about that. And then when I get home, I connect my actual MetaMask to it, and it gives, you know, gave me like a score of 45%. I'm like, holy cow, I need to fix some things.
Yeah, no, it's amazing how many things can be left open and available just by interacting on chain. There's hopefully, you know, I always say that in an ideal world, our original tools will be unneeded, because all that's going to be just baked into chain and just generalized security, which is why in the Harpy team, we also do some like boutique security consulting as well, to give like one of a kind tools to other enterprises. But we like to have this suite of tools available because there shouldn't be any inhibitors for consumers adding extra layers of protection. It's really important that we make tools available for not only ourselves to protect consumers, but other security tools as well.
Nice. So I saw a lot of the free tools. The wallet security kind of tells you what you can do. But I noticed advanced security. Can you explain maybe a little bit about what that is?
Advanced premium security feature? Is specifically a access that you would give Harpy to protect an asset if it was moving to anywhere besides the whitelist that you approve. So what that means is if you have your assets protected, you are really good about your approvals, but something happens, your seed phrase is compromised, and your assets are leaving your wallet to go to another hacker, or to a malicious location that you did not approve. This could also be user error, so it also could be the wrong ENS address or something like that as well. But we can stop that transaction and get it to a secure location, and you can take that out of that location as well, and put it into a newly clean wallet. So it's just about proactive wallet hygiene, and that's sort of your like last layer of protection.
Oh, that's yeah, that's interesting. And then I was also intrigued by the wallet two-factor authentication, because I'm a big advocate when I onboard a lot of new people in this space, and I always talk about security. And when we're talking about accounts and other things, two-factor authentication is huge. I tell people to set that up on every single account, not just cryptocurrency or financial related accounts, but on everything. And to see that you have like a two-factor authentication for wallets, it's interesting. So you can set it up to where, how does that work? It will send a notification to my email if I turn it on.
We like to provide a bank-like experience like you're used to, or a credit card, right? So if you're sending a transaction, you're going to get an email that says, "Hey, is this the transaction you intended to go through? This is where it's going." And if you do not click on the button in that email, so basically you need to approve that transaction a second time, then it will go through. And we do that through an RPC layer. So it's just an added layer of preventative security. And again, it stops against malicious transactions. It also stops against user error. Also, it's been known once or twice to stop people from FOMO because they went and clicked to try to participate in something, realized that they couldn't do it because they didn't set up protection, and stopped from participating in something that ended up being, not a good choice. So there's all different layers of security there, but ultimately you approve a whitelist, and if your transactions are not going there, you're going to need to click a button in email to make sure that it can go through.
I like that. And the term makes it, there's so many things in this crypto space where the term doesn't really indicate what it's actually used for. But I think wallet 2FA, it just makes sense, right? I'm trying to send a transaction. I have to confirm the 2FA that it's me, just like traditional 2FA. So I like that, because I always joked with people that there's so many different things in the space. So why do we call it that when it doesn't even function that way, right? And people don't understand, because then they start asking. I mean, just the essence of a wallet. I think we're all stuck with the term wallet, but it's not really holding any of your assets. It's just holding your private keys to access those assets that are on chain. And and so that's just one of the examples where it's like, oh, if we were to call it the way it operates, it's more like a keychain than a wallet. But I guess we're stuck with the term wallet for now, because that one's pretty widespread.
It's pretty widespread, and you see like Venmo and PayPal adopting it in their like normal consumer app just for their like Web2 transactions. So I think that one's here to stay. But like we use things like 2FA because the idea is with mainstream adoption, you're not going to be saying things like blockchain or NFT, right? The idea is that we're just interacting with that. So we want to keep things familiar. You're used to checking your credit health and also your financial health, so you should check your crypto health. But when you're actually adding those layers of protection, it shouldn't be foreign terms.
Nice. So in terms of consumer, we've talked about that. What's available that you kind of touched on it briefly, but what is available for the like maybe institutional side, or for like business clients that want to maybe utilize some of your with some of the protocols that you may have with Harpy?
Yeah, absolutely. So the easiest way to interact with us is to use the Enterprise tab of Harpy. You can set up access to our API, which gives you some really good information on whether a contract's malicious. It gives some very straight data points and also some human-readable language that tells you about what you may or may not be interacting with and where those funds are coming from. So that's like the most base level way that you can interact with us. If you need to use that for high volume, or you would like to have a more comprehensive audit of either your existing software and platform, and on any places that you could improve with layers of security, Or people that are trying to expand their platforms, add Web3 to their offerings, you know, build an NFT project, add it to their gaming. We will come in also with like TradFi dashboards. So some of these like larger bank tokens, they can benefit and use our heuristics. So they'll add them into their dashboard and just gives them another layer of ability to see what's going on. We also have some like pre-built out dashboards that community and token managers can use to see the general health of people holding their assets. And they can see actually real-time news feeds about any specific wallets and what vulnerabilities they have, so they can take action on it, or they can look at it more holistically on initiatives to add security education to the, you know, benefits and value add that they offer.
Gotcha. Nice. And so, one of the terms that hit me when I saw the enterprise tab was run background checks on any address. So you can see, what kind of activity those wallets have been. Like, basically, if you're trying to find out wallet addresses or scammers, or they've got any history or any malicious background, you can track that. I think that's important institutionally, right? Because people want to make sure they're interacting with, not people with ill intent. If a wallet's been flagged, where does that data come from? Is that using some of the other tools? I know there's some other companies out there that will tag different wallets as verified scammer wallets or certain things like that. Is that come from, you guys have work with other companies, or is it something that you all built?
Both. So of course, just like we recommend other security analysis companies add us to their stack, we also use other tools in our stack. It comes from a wide range of things, from on-chain data to police reports, and then, you know, other security feeds that we're able to obtain. You know, we really dig through sort of like all the forums that we possibly can to make sure that we're up to date with what's going on. And everything in between that, I'd say, is just basically our special sauce. But it is just like any other good security firm, part of a tech stack. So we have feeds that we use and ingest, and also ones that we create and also support other tech stacks with them too.
Gotcha. Yeah. All right. So let's jump into, I like to focus to, you know, our audience is either new people or people that haven't been in the space for a while. They're just kind of learning. So from Harpy, what wallet tips would you give someone? We'll start outside of just what Harpy does, like maybe just in general. And, you know, what do you suggest to people when they're getting started setting up wallets? And then we'll jump into some of what they could do within Harpy as well.
I mean, I would be hesitant to say that this is any sort of comprehensive approach. But I'd say some things that you really want to consider is making sure you do not like screenshot your seed phrase, or take a picture of it, or take a picture of the piece of paper you wrote it on, or take a picture of your fancy steel work, you know, to do it, because there's a reason you did that. And I know it seems like it's so silly, but like we've already seen it right now. We have today's AI ingesting and digesting the information that we were providing it for the last several years, and is able to go through that at a rate that like no human computing could have done previously. So it doesn't matter if you did this years ago, like it doesn't matter if you messed up back then. Regular wallet hygiene is really important to like keep things going and continuity. Also, I would say just like making sure that you're continually adding to the layers of security you have, and like your general best practices, right? Like that you're using multiple different kinds of wallets for different things, that, you know, your long-term assets are far, far away from anything that you're interacting with regularly. But that you don't get lazy either, right? Some people get a ledger and they're like, oh, cool, I'm safe, right? I got a hardware wallet. Your ledger's only as safe as your seed phrase for your ledger is. And if you use your ledger like a hot wallet and you leave open approvals on your ledger, it is also vulnerable, just like your MetaMask browser experience with your wallet, because that's how wallets work. So to just be so aware of the constant vulnerabilities. And then, you know, obviously from the Harpy side, like I would just say, like, checking your wallet security health the same way you would your credit score, right? I get it, not everyone is like always on top of their credit, but ideally, right, you're going and you're staying on top of it, and you know if someone's opening credit cards in your name, it's kind of the same thing. Like we wanna be as stringent with our wallet as well. and find times when gas are low to use those to revoke approvals, because I get it. Sometimes, like, you're there, especially if you're at a trade show and that's when you're finding out about tools. Gas is high. It's a flaw of our industry. It will be improved before mainstream adoption because it has to.
Yeah, absolutely.
But today, you know, like, do those things when gas is low. And if you're doing it when gas is high, it's probably because you're interacting with it with some FOMO. So just do it. Make sure you're revoking those approvals, and that if you do have assets that are significant to you, whether they're high value or they're meaningful because they're one of a kind, like, protect those assets, because it is so heartbreaking every time somebody comes to us and says, my assets are gone, can you help me? And I'm like, I could have helped you an hour ago, 30 minutes ago, anytime up till that transaction started. But preventative security is so important, and it's impressive how much we can literally sit there and watch, like, other people's train wrecks and watch people lose their assets and empathize with them and even advocate for them and advocate for people to set up security and then still not go set up our own security. So it's so, so important to make sure that you're constantly on top of your security and you're aware of what's going on with your assets, because it's not a perfect place yet. Like, they can go away. And if you're not taking care ahead of time, you don't want to be the next thing that somebody's posting on Twitter, their, like, giant thread for engagement, because that's the best thing that they get after being drained. You know, like, that's if that's your win after being drained, like, that's not a win. So you don't want to be that next thread. You don't want to be the story that everyone has to hear about, because it's sad. It's real. And go set up preventative security. That would be like my, if you are new to crypto or you're coming back to crypto, go figure out where your assets are, figure out what kind of tokens you have, get them into one clean space, whether that's a new wallet because you're just getting started, or you aggregated all of your dust and things from your other wallets and got them into one new clean wallet with some really proper hygiene. And just start from, you know, as much blockchain scratches, because, you know, everything's immutable from where it started. But, you know, you can get yourself into, like, sort of like ground level one.
And, you know, some of the things you said, you know, I like to advocate or gear towards the new person or the person that's just learning, just figuring out, or like you said, you know, maybe been got out and coming back to the space. But it really, some of the things you said, as someone who onboards new people, I don't even think about it. I guess you think about it more too when you're in that wallet security space. But the open permissions, you're right about the ledger. I know people that have had the same ledger for years, and they probably have open permissions on them, and so they should check that, right? And and turn those, because all it could take, even though that could have been a legitimate interaction in the past, if that project goes away or their smart contract, whatever, gets becomes vulnerable or gets hacked, and someone changes something within that smart contract to where now you're open to a malicious smart contract, where 3 years ago it could have been a legitimate one, right?
Exactly.
And as you're talking, all these things are popping in my head. I'm like, that's so important for everybody. And I mean, I guess if your wallet score is low enough, instead of just turning off permissions, you're right. Bring it to, get everything to a new wallet, a clean wallet. It's as simple as, you know, starting a new one. But it's good, also good to know. So, right. So like in MetaMask, it's still governed by the same seed phrase, right? If you create multiple accounts within MetaMask.
Yeah, you can get an individual seed phrase, but natively, like, basically that's what happens. Yes, you just, like, add another account and you can restack all those wallets back,
right? So, but if there's a seed phrase vulnerability you may have, you may want to just create a new one from scratch without using your existing account.
I noticed that's different sticking around anything that was made vulnerable. Like, if your seed phrase has been compromised, like,
oh, absolutely, yeah,
scrap that wallet and start a new one. Obviously there are some, like, soulbound tokens and things that, like, you need to just sort of hold on for dear life, or keep enough ETH in there to do some sort of advanced protection, like what we do at Harpy, so that those assets can't leave your wallet, right? Just, like, leave enough ETH to protect with the gas, set, like, a whitelist, right? Unless they're going to your new wallet address. that they cannot leave that wallet. And then that's really the most the least vulnerable you can leave your assets, right? With an open approval that if they're trying to leave, that they can actually just be saved, and that's it. But besides that, to get everything that's movable and non-soul bound into a fresh wallet with, you should do that just generally anyway, way more than any of us ever do.
A lot of good points. I mean, I definitely learned that. I always talk to people about the importance of cold storage wallets, but understanding, you're right, if they are using that thing and connecting it, whether it's Bluetooth or by cable all the time, and opening these permissions, that's something they really should do. It just keeps ringing in like, God, I've got to share that with more people because I never think about that. I always tell people, the vulnerabilities of hot wallets and why you want to also use cold storage wallets, but if they're used it the wrong way, then it could be could leave them vulnerable. So I can go in, I can connect any wallet to Harpy. Like if I want to check my ledger, I can see what permissions are on there.
Yeah. The easiest
Nice.
way to do it is usually through Wallet Connect.
True, true, true.
Wallet Connect's a great way to do that. But you just go ahead and you'd be using any sort of wallet extension you want to access your wallet. You're just connecting your wallet to Harpy, and that's how you see the dashboard, and then how you have access to create those approvals, revoke those approvals, and then just also like see your general security. And if you are managing some sort of like project, like if you're here because you're getting into blockchain, because your company's getting into it, we can help you see like a news feed of any like aggregate of holders that are holding a unified token.
Okay.
So there's like sort of like boutique ways that we help all sorts of people with security. We're making it a little bit easier to access us in the future too. Like today, the easiest way is Discord, because our entire team does live there. And it's a really easy way to get a hold of us and ask like specific questions about how to use Harpy and get protected. But we really do try and make it easy enough that you can land there, see what's going on, understand like what you're looking at, and figure out how to improve your health score.
Awesome, awesome. This is important because security is one of the most important things. It doesn't matter how much you make, how much you hold, if you don't have good security, it's all for nothing because there's no customer service you can call for any chain or any asset. Say, hey, I lost my money. Can you restore it? Can you
There
give it
are
back?
white hat hackers, and I only know that because of how frequently we are approached by people that have lost their assets. So I wish it wasn't information I did have, but there are like if you lose high values of assets, like you could do it. Obviously, there's going to be a finder's fee, and it's got to be a high enough amount of assets that it's worth it to go do that work. Obviously, they can't always do it, but there are services available, and again, I only know that because we're so frequently approached by people that have already lost their assets because they didn't.
Yeah.
Like we're very, very proud to say that like we protected so much money from being stolen on chain already. But like if I had a nickel for every time I've heard a story about money we weren't able to save because we didn't meet them till after, or somebody recommended them Harpy after. There's so many assets that have been taken from their rightful owners.
Yeah, that's important. And even on the, like, as you mentioned, the white hat hacker, people have to be careful with those too, because I know someone recently that had lost a substantial amount of money, and then they went out trying to find someone to help them recover it, and then they got scammed again by a fake white hat hacker. So it was,
Fair.
it's one of those sad stories. You gotta make sure, you find a, you find a reputable one, a reputable service. And even then, it's not guaranteed that you'll get anything back, right? It's just
Oh
you
no,
might
at
have a
that
little bit
point you're
better
grasping at
chance.
straws.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Awesome. Well, I think once we're done recording this podcast, Brent, I'll be connecting my wallets because I'm also the type that over the years I've had companies send me hardware wallets and I've got multiple wallets on my phone, mobile wallets. I'm gonna probably be going through Wallet Connect and checking every one and hopefully they're better off than that old MetaMask one I connected earlier that I've been using for, I don't know, 6, 7 years now. So I'm gonna have to clean that one up or revoke a lot of permissions.
Well, highly recommend it. Not the most fun time when ETH is high, but ETH is high, so woo. But yeah, I highly recommend just doing something for your wallet security and like getting the habit of like continuing to do that, because it's always great to talk to me and be like, okay, cool, now I know to do it. But the thing is being like having continuity to that.
Yeah. And you want to meet people when they've used it before something's happened, not after they've had a security incident
Yeah, those are
and
the
then they're coming to
conversations
you.
I'd like having, you know? Oh, hey, Harvey's like saved this asset. Cool. Like that's what I want to hear. Not I heard about Harvey after I lost everything.
Awesome, Brett. Well, you know, it's been a pleasure talking to you today, finding out more about your background, what Harpy's done, and I can't stop without recommending to everybody to check out what you guys are doing. So, can you share with anyone listening? I'll also have it in the comments as far as the different links, but tell everybody where they can find out more about Harpy and start using some of your tools.
Our domain is really easy. Well, it's Harpy, Harpie, and then it's .io, so Harpy.io. It's a mythical creature. And we are Harpy.io on every social platform as well. So you can find us on Twitter, Harpie.io. And same thing with Instagram and Threads and LinkedIn and all the other relevant, platforms that there are. But the easiest way to find us is at our website. Join our Discord and get in touch with us if you have any questions. But it should be pretty straightforward to at least get there and see your wallet health. And if you want to get your wallet roasted, like you were mentioning, find us at the next conference. I think the next one we'll be at is ECC.
Oh, nice. Awesome. Yes, definitely check it out. As you mentioned, the Discord, if they go to the website, there's a link to join the Discord there. I'd recommend everybody join and learn more about security, learn more about securing your assets. We're moving into this new era of digital world, digital assets, and it's important to protect yourself.
Well, thanks for having me. It's been a pleasure, and it was nice meeting you at ETH Denver too.
Yeah, absolutely, Brett. Been a pleasure today. Pleasure meeting you and your team back at ETH Denver. Any final words for everybody before we wrap up?
Add some layer of security today, or like go find some dusty wallet and put those assets somewhere safer.
Gotcha. Awesome. Great advice. All right, everyone. Thanks again for listening, and we will catch you on the next episode. Take care, everybody.